The Haynes Personnel Committee recommends an interim borough manager. And we'll take a look at some of the top stories from around Southeast this year. From legislative elections to marine highway budget cuts and more. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Abby Collins. Those stories and more, up next. A former interim borough manager in Haynes could be in for a second round of that job. An assembly committee recommended Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan for the position at their latest meeting, but he's not the only name in the running.
I wouldn't be throwing my name in the ring if I hadn't had a number of staff come to me and say, are you going to do this? Will you do this?
That's Public Facilities Director Brad Ryan. The Haynesboro Personnel Committee recommended him to serve as interim manager at their latest meeting. In December, the assembly voted 4-2 to terminate the contract of manager Bill Seward, leaving the position vacant heading into the new year. Until an interim manager is chosen, borough clerk Julie Causey is the acting manager. The personnel committee consists of assembly members Margaret Friednauer and Ron Jackson. Assemblyman Mike Case is the chair, but was absent from this meeting. The borough manager also sits on the committee. Assembly members Heather Lendy, Tom Morfitt, and Tresham Gregg sat with the public. Ryan is one of two people who expressed interest in the job. The other is Dave Palmer, a former city manager in Juneau, Craig, and Petersburg. Morfitt said that's who they should be considering for the job.
I think Palmer can give us an example of how a person who's professionally been employed for many years as a manager does that job.
He says he believes Palmer could be helpful in the process of choosing a new manager.
When we go to hire our next manager, we can use his example as something, a standard, to which we can judge the next manager candidates.
Lendy and Greg both said they'd like to see Palmer get an interview.
When somebody offers to be an interim who's had this kind of experience, I think we should talk with them.
You don't see any reason why we wouldn't want to have at least an interview with Mr. Palmer. It sounds like it's very interesting and helpful contact that we can pursue, at least for the moment, and maybe sometimes into the future.
But others offered their support to Ryan, who has done the job before. Chief Fiscal Officer Jayla Stewart filled in for Causey in the manager seat at the committee. She said there were two ways they could go.
It seems like you guys could say, it's all about process, that's what we do, let's take a step back, let's see who's interested, let's have some quick interviews. Or you could say, Brad's willing, he's got the support of staff, he's got a track record, let's install him and move on.
Ryan took on the same position around this time last year, after Dave Sosa resigned as manager in November 2015. Stewart read from an email Causey sent recommending Ryan for the position.
I recommend Brad for interim because he did it for 6 months last year and the assembly was pleased with him. His midterm evaluation was stellar. He submitted the FY17 budget, so he knows the budget process. He will be able to move right into working on the FY18 budget. He is aware of the inner workings and issues of the borough. Finally, he is well-liked by the staff and the public, and he's willing to do it.
That sentiment was shared by others in the room, like Tourism Director Leslie Ross, who insisted the Assembly take recommendations from borough staff into account when making their decision. Recommending Ryan, she said the turnover of managers, permanent and interim, is disruptive.
Each time you have to try to go through all of your projects and what your budget is and what you're trying to accomplish. And if you do this for 6 months with an interim and then you have to do it again with whoever they're replacing as a new manager. As I said in my letter, that's a year's worth of transition.
Friednauer said she's in favor of making this as easy a transition as possible and moved to recommend Ryan for the position to the assembly.
We're leaving the whole position in limbo right now the longer we debate it as far as interim, and we're not moving ahead with how do we find a new permanent manager. And I think that's a more important question.
Ryan said he's only willing to take on the job if someone fills in for him in public facilities. The committee voted unanimously to recommend him for the position. They said they're still interested in talking with Palmer about his offer and what he could bring to the transition. The assembly will review the recommendation at their next meeting on December 10th. The Sheldon Museum and Cultural Center in Haines has been going through some big changes in the last year. In February, the board voted on a new name. The museum will soon be known as the Haines Sheldon Museum. But there's another part of the museum's identity that they're looking to change in the new year. Heading into 2017, the Sheldon Museum is set to get a new logo. Museum staff are opening the redesign process up to the community. They're accepting simple black and white submissions through the end of January. At that point, there will be a public vote on the winning design. The winner will receive a $300 prize. As we head into the new year, Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports on some of last year's top stories from around Southeast.
I'm Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau with a look at some of Southeast Alaska's top stories of 2016. November legislative elections significantly improved the region's standing in the House. Democrat Justin Parrish narrowly beat incumbent Republican Kathy Munoz in Juneau's Mendenhall Valley District. That contributed to a statewide shift that put Democrats and their allies in charge of the House for the next 2 years. Parrish was among those promising to protect regional interests.
From my seat there, I'll be able to quash any possible thought of a capital move.
He and Southeast's three other representatives will all have majority leadership positions once they're sworn in January. Driving on or off a state ferry became harder in 2016 as budget cuts shrunk the number of sailings and two ships went into long-term storage. The 11-year-old fast ferry Chenega was tied up in Tacoma with an uncertain future, and the 50-year-old Taku was docked in Ketchikan with the intent of being scrapped or sold. Exploration companies in 2016 continued drilling at mine sites near the British Columbia-Alaska border, and critics in Southeast kept pushing for restrictions on mines in transboundary watersheds that drain into Alaska. That led state and provincial officials to sign a statement of cooperation in October, promising more openness and increased environmental monitoring. Critics in the state said it was not enough and will continue pushing for a binding federal agreement. Also in 2016, the U.S. Forest Service finalized long-debated plans to move timber harvests from old growth to younger trees. Also, Southeast Alaska's Regional Native Corporation rejoined the seafood industry in May by investing in Independent Packers Corporation, a Seattle processing plant. I'm Ed Schoenfeld, reporting in Juneau.
For KHNS News, I'm Abby Collins. Thanks for joining us this evening. You can listen to and read local news stories on our website at khns.org. We also have news and announcements on our KHNS Facebook page, so make sure you follow us there. We're always open to your comments and story ideas, so drop us a line at news@khns.org or reporter@khns.org.